live in an age of deflection, where few people want to step up and take responsibility. When the call of leadership comes, it's not uncommon to watch qualified people defer or deflect or dodge the opportunity. Well, today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll talk about the better alternative. His message was delivered to a gathering of Insight for Living friends from all over the country together at a mountain retreat to enjoy a family vacation. Chuck described the transfer of leadership when Moses passed the baton to Joshua. He titled his talk, Creating a Legacy of Responsibility.
There's a vast difference between a prediction and a resolution. Stop and think about it now. A prediction is something we anticipate that might happen. It's based on assumptions, opinions, trends, even feelings. I believe something is going to happen. So many of the things that are written as fact are really nothing more than opinions, predictions, and they're often wrong. Now, resolutions are different. Resolutions are what we determine will happen. Resolutions are what we determine will happen based on convictions, personal disciplines, strong purpose, clear vision, and a sense of mission. That's a resolution. Resolutions say, I take full responsibility for this occurring. And by the grace of God, I will live to see it take place. I don't know if Joshua kept a journal. I want to think he did. I would love to think that a part of his journal was the book that bears his name. I would like to think that Joshua, in these formative hours and days of the transition of leadership, very sensitively kept this record. And today we see it as a part of Holy Scripture, the canon. It's a piece of the inspired canon of God's holy writ. But to Joshua, who may not have even thought of it ever finding its way into sacred scripture, to him it's, if you will allow me a little bit of imagination, it's his journal. He's remembering. That's our first day together. It's all about a personal mission God had for Joshua. That was our second day. And it's about taking responsibility. There's something about keeping a journal that will help you take more responsibility for your life. Do less blaming, less excusing, and more personal responsibility. I can only imagine that one of his original resolutions went like this. Resolve that regardless of the reality of my age or the absence of my mentor, or the presence of the obstacles, I will hear and obey the Lord my God, regardless. To give that resolution clearer meaning, three questions need to be answered. First, how old was Joshua? His age is never given in this book. The ancient historian, Jewish historian, Josephus, believed Joshua was about 40 at the time of the Exodus. And if we can rely on that, in saying that he was about 40, he is now about what? 80. It's been 40 years for them to come to the edge of the land. Most in this room are not 80. Some of you are. Most of us can only imagine life at 80. Joshua refused to allow his age to be a factor. I challenge every one of you as you enjoy birthdays from 1 year to the next to get over your age. Get beyond it. It really means nothing. Attitude means everything. To Joshua, he just happened to have passed that 80th birthday, if in fact that was his age, and he resolves, regardless of his age, he's going to do what God tells him to do. Second, where was his mentor? Well, Moses has died, and the Lord doesn't just kind of keep that from him, hoping that he can sort of live in the dream that Moses' shadow is nearby. Oh, look at verse 1. Verse 2, it came about after the death of Moses. Right out of the chute, the mentor has died. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. That's God saying that to his servant Joshua. So Joshua at age 80, without his mentor near, without the point man who has led the Exodus, without the seasoned years of this 120-year-old great lawgiver, with that mentor gone, and we'll think more about mentoring on Friday, but there's something about knowing that mentor is still there that is so strengthening to our spirit. Number 3, what were the challenges and the obstacles? Well, a land filled with enemies, warring tribes, experienced in battle. We talked about this our first time together. Larger in number than his group. Well-established, living behind stone walls in the familiar territory of their homeland of Canaan. And Joshua is among the troops that will be invading the land. They've never been there before. They've heard about it, but they've never been there. The obstacles, many of them, are yet to be encountered. The unknown is often the worst kind of obstacle. Before I go any further with Joshua, let me stop here and address how all three apply to us. Each one of us has a number of realities that we must get beyond. I mentioned one, it's age. Perhaps you have some physical disability. Get past it. Get past it. I don't mean to sound uncaring. I'm just trying to jar you free from a pity party. Please. Whatever may be that hardship, that limitation, get on with it. Maybe lack of financial resources. Press on. Don't wait till the ship comes in. May not have even left the dock. It may never arrive. The past with its undeniable drawbacks. We all have things we wish we hadn't done, wish we hadn't said, bad mistakes. We did the wrong thing with one of our children, no doubt. I've always said that there's a great synonym for parenting. It's called guilty. You've done some things wrong. I love what Gary Richman wrote in your piece today, and I read it twice. Make sure I didn't miss any part of it. It's a great line that he refuses to play the parent card. And when I read this, I'm reminded of this in Gary's life, I just have to tell myself he turned out so great. He's a little weird, but he turned out great. And I think with that kind of past, he's got a sense of humor that's just like few people you've ever met. And you'd think the guy just laughed his way all through his childhood. But it's not true. He's gotten past that. I love that. Whatever may be that reality, let's get on with it. And you may not have your mentor near you. You may not have the person near you who meant the world to you. You may have lost your mate. My heart goes out to you. I've never lost a mate. Never had a mate walk out on me. And I can't imagine how hard that would be, but I'm going to tell you, I can't stop if I lose my mate, nor can she, nor should you. Please, let's go on with it. Without a mentor, without a mate, or maybe you won't see all of your children till you're dead. You may survive one of them. Can't think of anything worse, but we go on. Disabilities need not disqualify. Each one of us has obstacles in front of us, challenges. And we can fix our minds on them, and we will be so overwhelmed and depressed, we won't even want to leave this place and go back. I mean, even while we've been here, those ominous phone calls have come. And it can live in the fear of that. There will always be obstacles. There will always be stuff. We have a saying in our office that I've kind of introduced. I learned it from that great theologian, Rosanna Anadana, Saturday Night Live. It's always something. It's always something. I often end an email, it's always something. In fact, you got one waiting for you when you get back, Dave. I thought I'd tell you. I didn't want to bother you with it now, but it's there if you want to plug into it. And I got something waiting for me. It's always something. You guys have something out there, and it's going to be something the next day. So we keep going. Joshua, at the very beginning of his book, faces these obstacles. But please observe, God never mentions his age. He comes right out of the chute telling him the mentor is gone. And then he says to Joshua, let me tell you what I'm going to do. Look at verse 2. You see the land? I am giving it to them. Whom? The people you are leading. That's verse 2. To the sons of Israel. Underline, I am giving to them. Verse 3. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it. Look at that. It's past tense. I've already given it. Yeah, but all those Canaanites, they aren't worth a toot. I am going to move them out of the way. You're going to get through the walls. You're going to take the land. It's already a fact. Just as I spoke to Moses, I have given it. He even calls it your territory. Look at verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun. Look at this. Underline it. Will be your territory. How's that possible? Because no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I have been with your mentor, Moses. Underline it. I will be with you. I will not fail nor forsake you. How good is that? I am giving it to them. Verse 2, I have given it to you. Verse 3, it will be your territory. Verse 4, I will be with you. Verse 5, in other words, I'm going before you. I am traveling with you. No enemy will stand against you because you are in my strength and I am all powerful. Fear has no place in your life. Press on. Something magnificent about that. I love the 27th Psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I like the word deliverance. The Lord is my light and my deliverance. Whom shall I fear? He's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though a host encamp against me, I will not fear. Came across a wonderful story. During the Civil War, the town of Morsfield, West Virginia, was on the dividing line between the North and the South. As a result, the war ebbed and flowed about the hapless little town like the tide on the shore. It would be in the hands of the Confederates one day and the Yankees' hands the next day. In one old house, which still stands in that town today, an elderly woman lived alone. One morning, Yankee troops rudely stomped up onto her front porch. She was completely at their mercy, and she knew that soldiers from either side were hungry and often brutal as they searched the homes of citizens, taking food and whatever other belongings they wanted. Nevertheless, she was a woman of the South, had great dignity and hospitality, prided herself in her genteel manners and courtesy and faith in the living God. Calmly and graciously, she invited all the soldiers to come in and be seated at her dining room table. She set breakfast before them, serving them with her fine china, colorful cloth table napkins. Before eating, she said to all of them, "It is my custom, a custom of long standing in my home, to have devotions before meals. With that, she opened her well-worn Bible and began reading the 27th Psalm. Imagine this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my foes, came against me, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, even in this I will be confident. The men sat silent, staring. When finished with the reading, she set her Bible aside and asked them to bow their heads as she led them in prayer. While praying, she heard the sound of shuffling boots on her kitchen floor. Later, when she finally said, "Amen," and opened her eyes, every last one of the soldiers had left. Her calm confidence in her God had frightened them off. How good is that? You don't want to mess with a praying woman from the South, I'll tell you. Joshua, it's a big task. You're getting up in years. A lot of obstacles. None of that matters. I am with you. When you build a legacy of responsibility, you understand through resolutions you make that you are claiming what God will do for you and through you. And you stand on that, even when the crowd's gone home and the lights are out and you're back alone. You stand on the resolutions that you have made. And we've given you some space in the booklet for you to do that. Now let me cut to the chase. Three times we read the same kind of phrase in the verses that follow. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua needed two things, obviously, and those are the things the Lord promised him. To meet the needs of his own inadequacy, he needed strength, inner strength. He needed to be able to stand tall without Moses standing beside him. He needed to be able to stand alone when it was in the lonely point of leadership. So the Lord says to him, take the strength, I'm giving it to you. Stand in my strength. As Reg has pointed out time after time again, to do what is right takes inner strength. Swim against the tide takes inner strength. And second, he needed courage. That has to do with the external things that come when it's always something. Something else arises. You need the courage to step up and into it. The Lord promises him both, and on three occasions even specifies the same words. Let me help you with three thoughts from these three statements the Lord gives him. First of all, you have the confidence of God's calling. God states precisely that it is Joshua who is called to do this. This is his purpose for existence. If you will allow me, this is his magnificent obsession. It is God's calling. You will drift aimlessly unless you discover the calling God has for you. When you discover it, it is a great moment. And it can change as time passes. But for now, the great calling for Joshua is this task that is before him. Something powerful occurs when you realize you're called to this. Some of our friends from the conference gave me another of the several books I have on Winston Churchill, and I just finished it night before last. It's a wonderful pictorial walk through his life, and I came across that statement as he got the call from King George VI, Let me read this. Winston Churchill was consumed by an extraordinary sense of providence and personal destiny, leading a nation and championing the cause of freedom against a vile tyranny at overwhelming odds. On the night of May 10, 1940, he was invited by King George VI to form a government and lead Britain against the forces of Nazism that menaced Europe. Later recounted this. These are the words of Churchill. I felt as if I were walking with destiny, and that all my past life had been but a preparation for this hour and for this trial. You wonder why the man was so motivated during those dark years of the Blitzkrieg, the bombings of his beloved London and his land of Great Britain. He had a sense of destiny. I've lived my whole life for this. The man's now in his 60s when he's called to this task. Isn't it great? We watched the burial, the memorial of Ronald Reagan, and I was thrilled how often they mentioned his age and the time he had served and all the flack he got, all those yo-yos that thought he's losing it. And now you look back and you think, good night, he's in a category all his own. Remarkable man. Perhaps more than anything else, his age gave him the seasoned confidence he needed to do what he did. You get a certain age, you get a little ornery. A lot of you are good examples of that, you know. And you don't care as much. You don't. And some of that is very healthy. You know, give a rip what they think. You know it's right, and you're going to do it. And that's the way it is with Joshua. Joshua, you're old enough not to get shaky about this. Get on with it. It doesn't matter the clowns are in there behind those stone walls. I'm bigger than any of them. So, stand up. Be strong.
Winston Churchill, Ronald Reagan, and Joshua all serve as profound reminders that age doesn't disqualify a leader. In fact, after decades in the trenches, these senior statesmen offered their years as a badge of credibility. You're listening to Insight for Living, and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Creating a Legacy of Responsibility. Find us online at insightworld.org. Early in today's program, Chuck speculated that perhaps Joshua kept a journal of sorts. He said, there's something about a journal that helps you take more responsibility for your life. It's one of the many reasons we're pleased to offer a brand new resource from Insight for Living. This spiral-bound prayer journal is called Passionate Prayer. It's an interactive tool. First, you can read about 12 men and women who modeled the discipline of prayer. And you can also keep track of your own thoughts and conversations with God. You know, Chuck, sometimes we tend to put prayer in a box and neglect to see the many different ways we can talk to God.
When we envision someone in prayer, usually we picture folded hands, perhaps a furrowed brow, and eyes squeezed tightly shut. Over the centuries, however, Christians have expressed themselves to God, not only speaking silently to their God with their heads bowed, but also in the written word. I've enjoyed this discipline of writing my thoughts and prayers also. Words flow through my pen and into my personal journal. And today, we at Insight for Living are pleased to offer an exclusive journal from us for you to enjoy. It's called Passionate Prayer. This is not a sterile book of blank pages. In this spiral-bound book, I'll introduce you to 12 of my own heroes of passionate prayer. These women, these men, took valiant stands in the face of insurmountable odds. Each one possessed a spiritual maturity that sustained their life of integrity. But that's not what I love most about them. It's what those men and women did in private, far more than what they did in public, that impresses me. They were driven by their passion for God. These heroes went to God with impassioned requests for Him to work all over the world. They modeled passionate prayer. So join me in this journey, won't you? Request the journal called Passionate Prayer, and then commit with me to follow the words of the great missionary Hudson Taylor, who once said, "Let's go forward on our knees."
We're confident you'll enjoy owning the spiral-bound prayer journal from Chuck Swindoll. It's yours when you give a donation of any amount. Whether large or small, your contribution helps advance the mission and ministry of Insight for Living. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. We want this prayer journal to serve as a reminder of our partnership. As a listener-supported ministry, we rely on the generosity of loyal listeners like you. When you give, request your copy of Passionate Prayer. Go to insight.org. Insight for Living enjoys a strategic partnership and a cherished relationship with our monthly companions. A monthly companion agrees to give a donation every month, providing strength and stability to our ministry. If you're listening in the United States, become a monthly companion today by calling 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Dave Spiker. You'll hear Chuck Swindoll continue his message on creating a legacy of responsibility Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Creating a Legacy of Responsibility, was copyrighted in 2004, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.